two items are a combined hearing as well. Item 4 is a rezoning at 276 Murray Avenue under file DAZ 231 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the following item will also be heard at the same time. A variance for the same premises under file DAB 176745 of 2013 D.
Okay, I've got support. Support. Okay. Okay, I've got a few names here. Support. I'll call up Janice Bisco. Do you have a team of people that you want to?
If they want to speak after they can, then I'll just do the presentation.
Okay, you'll have 10 minutes. If you could state your name and address for the record. We're digitally recording.
Can I stand for this? Is that okay?
Actually, the mic is right there, so we can move the easy and close to hear. We'll need to pick up your glass and mic. My name is Janice Bisco, and I'm with Physical Enterprises at 1 Ruskin Row. And we are here for 276 Murray, and we're proposing a multifamily development. We're asking for rezoning from residential single-family estate to residential multifamily small, and that's to allow for a three-story, 29-unit condominium. And we're also asking for height variance from 35 feet to 45 feet maximum to allow for a peaked roof, which will give a nice blend into the community. We think this is a prime location for infill development. All the infrastructure is already in place in the area, and it's bordering between the commercial area and the residential area.
I've given the aerial view of that area of Riverbend, and the residential community is actually off almost like a funnel shape in the northwest, so it all funnels down to this property is down at the base, so we're not going to be encroaching on the residential area. And this kind of mix is not currently available. This would appeal to, you know, retired or people for looking for affordable, environmental friendly housing option, and that's not currently in that community right now, in that neighborhood. All around, so that's the residential area. Then all around the rest surrounding the building, the lot is non-residential area. So we've got the Chief Pedwis Trail on one side, the Red River Community Center on the other side, and then the Main Street Commercial District on the other side. So we're kind of sitting in that pocket. As for the site itself, the neighbors, we've got the residential neighbors. There's actually two residential neighbors on the property line on the west side. At the rear at 288 Murray, I've submitted an email from the owner of that property. He's on vacation, but he called and sent an email in support of the property. His house is actually facing Main Street, so the view of the front of his house is directly onto the condominium, and they're very happy to see the buffer from the commercial area, have a noise buffer there. They would love to see it extended further out even to have more of a noise buffer from the commercial area. Also, on the commercial side, the owner of the C2 property on the east side has also sent in an email I've submitted in support of the development. On the lot itself, there's the existing tree lines. We want to have a lot of green space, nicely landscaped property. The existing mature tree line between the commercial area, we'll keep that there, and also the existing tree line between the residential area. We want to maintain all of those mature trees. The front half of that tree line, of that property line, is very solid tree line. There's large mature trees, and then underneath is a lot of evergreens and infill. So it is a full privacy wall, a barrier onto the residential properties. Into the back end, there is some sparse open spaces. There's some infill missing below. So we'd like to just plant evergreens and have a natural wall for complete privacy for all of the neighbors on the residential side. For traffic flow, we've got just the one access drive, which is basically where it is currently on the lot right now. So we've got the traffic
going in and out, straight into the underground parking. All of the residents will park underground, so all of those vehicles are out of view. And then they come out to the rear and right around to exit the lamp. So nice, smooth traffic flow. And the outdoor parking is all visitor parking. And there's extra parking spaces, so we won't have any overflow parking onto the residential streets or onto the community center parking lot across the street. And this is also, this site and location really lends itself to alternate means of transportation as well. So bicycles going in and out of the underground parking have easy in and out. The pedestrians, all of the entries and exits lead to the sidewalk, which runs the full length of the property and joins up with the Murray Avenue sidewalk, so they can venture out into the community and make their way around the corner. There's the bus loop right here on Main Street at the corner of Murray and Main, so that encourages use of the public transport. As far as the building design itself, the front short end, the 64-foot side, will face Murray Avenue, and it's well set back, 45 feet from the property line. So it's nice and discreet, respectful of the community. We've got all nice natural earth tone finishes, large balconies with glass railings, so a nice social feel, and then the peaked roof to give that nice residential blend into the neighborhood. For the dimensional standards, we're in really good shape in that area. For the front lot, the minimum is 20 feet. We've got 44 feet. The rear lot is minimum 25, and we're proposing 43 feet. Side lots are minimum 4. We're giving 25 feet on the commercial side and 76 feet on the residential side. So that's a lot of room. It supports the height of the building. There'll be no shading onto the residential traffic. The residential properties next door. And then the one area where, and also this lot size, I think it allows for 43 units for the size of the lot, and we're proposing 29 because we think that just is a nice fit for the lot. So the one area where the variance we're requesting is on the property, and we think that the height variance, we think that's a good reason. It's a positive effect. It's a nice transitional blend from the commercial to the residential. It's got nice curb appeal. And the size of the lot, the location does support the height in that area. And we've got all positive feedback on the design, comments that it's a nice rejuvenation in the neighborhood, and it increases the property values, so we've heard a lot of positive feedback on that. So in our proposal, our application, we're in compliance with the complete communities policy and the infill development guidelines. We meet all of that criteria. We have submitted a pre-application, and all of that came back favorable, and there were no concerns from any of the city departments. So we're asking council to vote in support of our rezoning and variance applications.
Okay, Ms. Bisco, thank you very much. We have some questions. Councilor Sharma?
Thank you. Thank you, Janice. What kind of public meetings did you hold for the community?
We held an open house in November, and we wanted to get the feel of the residents in the circular area within the few yards that are closest located to the lot, so we wanted to see what the immediate residents, so we just sent door-to-door information, and we held it at the community center, at Red River Community Center across the street. So I went down Murray Avenue, and then on the Frog Plain Way and Donan on either side, and then a few houses onto the next block of Murray. Down that, so just to get that immediate area and just to have a more intimate setting where we can see what the immediate neighbors had for concerns.
How many people came out?
I can't remember the numbers here. It's in the application, but about 15 or 20 people, I think, showed up.
Did you have any conversation with the community center board members?
I did speak with the community center, and they had mentioned that at one time they wanted to get both the commercial property and that lot for a
sports field, but mm-hmm. that it did not go through. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they didn't have any comments.
You mentioned that you have extra visitor parking, so you exceed the city ratio?
We do, yes. I think it comes out to 1.5, it comes out to about 43 lots, I think, we're required to have, and we have it's close to 60, I forget the correct count. So we're about 20% or so over the requirements. We were concerned that there would be overflow parking into the community center parking lot, so that's why we thought it would be good to have.
They don't mind sharing usually?
No.
Okay. What is your estimated market value for these units?
We expect them to be under 300,000, so they'll be in the affordable range, around the 300,000 or just under the 300,000 mark.
How big are they?
Various
sizes?
Yeah, around 1,300 square feet in that range. I've got the expert here.
Are you planning a walk-up or an elevator?
An elevator, and yes.
Ms. Biskowitz, just some questions on myself here. With respect to the west boundary there?
On the west side, yes.
Yeah, right there.
Yes.
Is there going to be fencing at the for the parking? I'm just looking at the map here, evening
if
parking,
the
and there might be lights onto the neighbor. Mm-hmm. Are you putting a fence in there?
Are you talking about the short 3-foot... fences for the at the parking stalls?
Okay, so you have three.
Is that what you're talking about?
Right,
yeah. Okay. If the city determines that we should have that, if the lights, headlights would be an issue, with the solid greenery there, we're not sure if it will be. But if it's determined that we should provide them, then we will. That's not an issue.
And then what kind of finishing are you looking at on your development?
We're looking at stucco and natural those.
Cultured stone?
Yeah. Sorry. So we want the natural finishes, yes.
And then, okay.
So. And the glass railing on the balcony and the asphalt roof.
And then just your solid waste collection, where is that going?
That goes in the back corner here. So there's lots of room for the garbage truck to. We were told it has to be at the rear corner of the lot, and then we've got. Lots of space for the garbage truck to turn around and move in and out.
Is there a back window?
No, there's no back
window.
So,
Laura,
can I
ask? Yeah,
So you're saying the driveway, well, you got a driveway, is the driveway to get to the visitor parking on the east side?
The driveway on the east side, no, it's on the west side. The driveway runs along the west side,
okay.
And so it's between the building and the visitor parking.
Okay.
So that ramp in and out, show me the flow of that exactly.
So you'll drive in here, go up towards the east, take the ramp in down, and the parking's all down below, and then they'll drive out the rear south end and then come around in the traffic.
So it's just covered parking, not underground?
It's underground parking. Yeah, underground.
Okay.
And there's how many stalls underground? 29 or more?
Oh.
Sorry.
It's just over 29. It's like 34 or something.
Okay, no, just curious. Some people have more than one car.
Yeah.
When are you hoping to have shovel in the ground?
Pardon me?
When are you hoping to have the shovel in the ground?
As soon as we have the rezoning approval, if it's ready in the spring, we will start in the spring.
Great. Ms. Biskow will ask her to stand down, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Next up is Robert Biskow. Do you wish to speak?
No.
Okay, your support. John Boney, do you wish to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, come on up. Name and address for the record, please.
My name is John Boney. Address is 54 Tompkins Bay. I don't live in this area, but I thought it would be useful for me to say a few words on behalf of the Bisco developer, who I've known for 25, 30 years, and have seen his work previously. I do frequent this area quite a bit, because my daughter lives in this area, and I have grandchildren, and grandpa drives kids to and from school, and many other reasons there. So I'm there at the height of traffic. I understand the issues there. I was at the meeting that Janice referred to with the local people, and I know there's some concerns about traffic. There's always concerns about traffic, no matter what you do. I've been in the traffic. I can tell you that it can be busy on Main Street, but I don't think this project will significantly alter the flow of traffic on either Murray or Main Street. I believe the extension of the bridge is going to be very helpful. I think lots of people coming down Main Street, because I live just on the other side of the river, so I'm using the Chief Peguis Trail quite a bit, are looking to get to that new extension to head towards McPhillips and heading to the western part of the city. Leela right now is probably taking a hit for that. So I expect that much of the traffic that backs up on Main Street, where people try to get on and off of Murray, including me, often have a hard time because once you hit the bridge right now, there's no traffic going nowhere. So I think that will be alleviated once the extension goes in behind our property. The other issue is the immediate neighbor to the west. And we met at the meeting and talked, and I understand concerns. It's always tough to be next door to something. But I just thought, try to put some perspective to it. I think the developer will do what the developer needs to do to make the resident happy, because he doesn't want to be at odds with the resident. The house, if you look at the overhead shots, I think that were passed out, you'll see it is sort of set forward on Murray and not backward. And so the project, most of the building, if not all of it, is actually set behind where the back of the house is. So it really isn't going to deal with sun issues or really be overpowering for that house. As well, if you look at the pictures, I'm not sure they were handed out. And if they're not, I could do that now. We have pictures of the house, the view of the house from our project, and there's significant trees and shrubbery there now that you can barely see the house. And I think there's one window on that wall, and that would be the only window that would be visible to the project. That'd be the picture you have there. So when Janice was talking about the new shrubs and things going in, she's actually talking about further back for this particular property, because I think the property for the neighbor house goes back quite a ways. And if you look at the view of that property from our project, it is less trees and shrubs there, and their proposal was to put up more large trees to make it as nice as possible for the neighbor. A fence, I'm not sure it helps in terms of the house. It might help in terms of the neighbor with the setback, because I believe they have children in the backyard playing. And I think there's a chain link fence that goes around most of the backyard, but not this property line, which I believe then if there were a chain link fence, that wouldn't be any longer an issue for children's safety. So those are the comments that I have in support of the application. As I say, I've known Robert Bisco for 25 years, and his projects are always wonderful. Thank you.
Mr. Bonney, thank you. Questions, Councillor Sharma?
No.
No questions? Okay, good. We'll ask you to stand down. Walter Bonney. Okay, super. Anyone else in support of the application that wishes to speak that I haven't followed up yet?
Or is this a combined hearing as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we'll now go to those in opposition. Eileen Kafka Wilson, you wish to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Just state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Eileen Kafka Wilson, and I live at 367 Murray. And I've been a resident on that street for about 20 years, and I've seen a lot of development, and our street was a very quiet street. And that's all I keep seeing is more development, more traffic. We've been fighting for a sidewalk from on Donan, from Murray to Woodbine, and we've been told that there's no money in the budget for this sidewalk. I've spoken to the developer about how more traffic is going to impact Donan Avenue, which is the street that our kids walk to school on, and it's currently a death trap. We have ditches on either side. On garbage day, when all the garbage cans are out and the cars are trying to dodge around all the garbage cans and all the kids walking to school, and there's no sidewalk. Where this is going to be built, because it's so difficult to get onto Main Street, it's going to force cars back up Murray. The cars are going to end up going west on Murray, turning on Donan, going up Ridgecrest at the lights, so that it's easier for them to get out onto Main Street. So that's just going to increase the traffic on Donan. And I would like to see, before any more development goes through on Murray Avenue or in the surrounding area, I would like to see Chief Pegg was done. And I also, as nice of a building that it is, I feel our street is a single dwelling and duplex. I don't really think that there's a place for it. I don't feel that it fits into the existing community. I think if it went on the other side of Main Street, on the east side, where there's already existing apartment blocks, it would fit in more on that side. And that's probably about all I've got to say.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kafka-Wilson. Any questions of the delegation? Okay, good. Yeah, we'll ask you to stand down. Thank you.
Well, I have one quick question.
Oh, sorry. Councilor, you have
a question. So there is a sidewalk, though, to the Riverbend School from Woodbine to Red River, right?
No. There is a sidewalk, yes, from Woodbine, yes.
Yeah,
from Woodbine to Red River.
Woodbine. Okay.
Yeah, but there's nothing to connect it from Murray.
Yeah. How many, are there any houses that front on Donan there? Or?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
There are houses there.
Yeah, there are houses.
Okay.
And there is, I mean, they could build one sidewalk on the east side of Donan.
It's kind of out of, I was just curious.
Yeah, okay.
You know that, well, I'll ask you this question. So you know that if houses front on a street, it's usually a local improvement that homeowners have to pay for?
That's another good point. The way that everything existed, like, you know, the way the sidewalks and the streets existed was all fine before all the development came. So we all lived in this neighborhood with the sidewalks as they were, and it wasn't a problem. You know, a child could walk down the street without worrying about getting hit. But we didn't ask for the development. The development came, and now our children are at risk. An adult is at risk walking down that street. So why is it up to the homeowners to fit the bill? They didn't ask for the development. They didn't ask for all the traffic. I think that whoever's developing in the area, that they should be having to fit the bill.
We have another question. Councilor Sharma?
Eileen, what would you ideally like to see on this parcel of land?
I would like to see maybe more park space or duplexes, single dwelling homes.
There's plenty of park space at the community center.
That's another thing too. The community center, when they have socials, the street is full of cars because there isn't enough parking. The community center has kept their extra parking lot chained off, which I don't know why it's not open when they have socials for extra parking, and instead everybody parks down the street. When there's soccer games, there isn't enough parking, so people park all down the street. Again, increasing the traffic levels.
Ms. Kafka, just so you know, your development predated this particular committee of council, but since Councilor Edie and Sharma have been on this council, they're real strong advocates of fighting for sidewalks. Just wanted to put that on the record, and we hear what you're saying. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, John. Oh, sorry. One second. Found the wrong one. Michelle Kading. Good afternoon. Name and address for the record, please.
Michelle Kading, 359 Murray Avenue. In relation to the development, I'm located between the proposed development. Donan would be down here, and then I'm three houses farther west, and Eileen is a couple of doors farther west than I am. So we're in the first few houses that would be affected by all of the traffic coming out of this proposed development. It's been alluded to that the intersection at Murray and Main Street is already difficult. That's an understatement. During the morning rush hour, because people do not respect the don't block the intersection idea, they are constantly blocking that intersection and making it almost impossible to get onto the southbound Main Street, or heaven forbid, should you want to turn actually and go northbound on Main Street. So what Aline said about the traffic, then going down Donan and over to Ridgecrest to get to that light so that they have access to Main Street is, I've done it many, many times myself, because that's the only way to get onto Main Street. Murray Avenue has become increasingly busy over the years with all of the development, and our houses on the north side of the street have front driveways. So backing out from your garage or your driveway onto a busy and busy street, busier and busier street, is getting more and more difficult, especially on the garbage days when all of the things are put out, and the parking is also on the north side of the street. So when we're trying to back out of our driveways to get onto a busy street, already we are backing up between parked cars and garbage bins to get onto a busy street. So any increase in the traffic volume going westbound towards McPhillips is going to very negatively impact our ability to do so. It is 30 units with the possibility of 60 vehicles. I think it'll probably be busier than that. So with Murray being the only access point, this will be a continued problem. And it's been disappointing to see the Chief Pegwas so far down the line in terms of that extension. That's many years away. If this development, if the shovel breaks ground in April, we're looking at 4 or 5 years of even worse traffic to contend with before Chief Pegwas is even on the books. So that's a...
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Keating. We have a question. Councilor Sharma?
Just... in relation to your comment about the Chief Pegwas, are you aware that it got moved up in the Transportation Master Plan?
Yes, and I thank you for that. I understand you asked
yes,
for that.
So it was supposed to be in 2031. And
2031.
That was what was supposed to be done, so we did get it moved up significantly, and now we need to find the money.
And now it's in which year?
I believe it's 2018.
2018, yeah. Yes. So we're looking at a good 4 or 5 years of heavier traffic flow. So thank you. It helps to have that knowledge there, if you can find the money, as you said, to get that pushed through. So that is my key concern, is the traffic flow on the street. And I know there were people at the meeting. I'm surprised it didn't get into the ACG report, the concerns about the traffic, because some of that could be alleviated somewhat through the placement of some signs at Main and Murray Avenue to ask people not to block that intersection, for one thing. So that's a fairly simple fix. There might be something done with the parking on the north side of the street that would allow us easier access to getting out on the street than to have to go through the parked cars and everything. So that's a possibility as well.
Ms. Keating, has anyone ever explored the possibility of a four-way stop at Murray and Donan?
There is a four-way stop there.
Is there? Okay.
It does not prevent the traffic from speeding down Murray Avenue. You've got to understand that's an old street. Kids use it for drag racing.
We've had enforcement over.
And because it's largely undeveloped west of the tracks, west of that CPR line, people come ripping down there at 80-plus kilometers an hour. They go flying over that intersection, that railway crossing, and then they barely come to stops at the existing stop signs. So I believe Eileen has also asked for some traffic calming devices like speed bumps and so on, because once you get to the residential section, we do need people to slow down as they drive through the housing section. I believe the street was designed originally to have back lanes on both sides of the street, and that wasn't followed through on, so we're left with the north side of the street backing out and contending with crazy drivers driving through.
Got a question. You mentioned parking on the north side of Murray?
Yeah.
You've seen the plans. They have a lot of parking for this particular facility, though, right? Like,
yes, they do.
You know, they got 34 underground, and then there's visitor.
Yeah.
So do you think that this facility is going to cause parking issues?
I don't think it'll cause major parking issues, no. But it is, it's an unusual street in that in front of the new proposed development, the parking is on the south side of the street.
Yeah.
And but once you go through that Donan intersection, the parking flips over to be on the north side of the street. I don't think it will directly impact the parking in front of my house, for example, but they'd be lucky to be able to find a spot in front of my house because all of the duplexes across the street, that's their visitor parking.
But, like, there's, like, 60-something parking spots included.
Yes.
Including the stuff for the visitors, so
mm-hmm.
I don't see how this would cause a parking problem on the piece from Donan to Main either. So.
It depends. I mean, I've seen family reunions in condos and stuff that if you've got a big family, there's still parking issues. But yeah, I think that, you know, that to me, that's a smaller issue.
Okay.
Yeah. It's more the traffic, the volume of traffic increasing that is the major issue, and that not being resolved for 4 to 5 years at the most optimistic.
Okay. Katie, thank you very much. Sharon Provero. Primero. Okay. Welcome. Name and address for the record, please.
My name is Sharon Primero. I live at 292 Murray Avenue. I live about three houses from this proposed site. My main concern is the property that's right here, and there's this empty lot, like a driveway, that I'm the next. My concern is, yes, those trees are there, but like they said, a lot of the trees further back are...
Go ahead. Okay.
A lot of the trees are dying, and even if you put shrubs, it takes years for shrubs to grow if they grow properly and if they're watered properly. That ground there is very silt, so sometimes trees take a harder time growing. We've tried growing on our own property, and we do have disadvantages with them. I would think when people are parking here, you're going to have headlights coming into your property, so all night long you're going to have the headlights facing your property, which that would affect because our deck would be right over here, so that's what I'm going to see all night long. So I think if there was a fence, that would solve part of that problem. I have the same concern about the busyness on Murray because I myself don't go down Murray when I go to work. I will head to Donan and go down Ridgecrest because I can't get on Murray, get off of Murray to Main Street in the morning to get to work, and I go the other way down to Pegasus. Another concern is, yes, those stop signs, we have them, but they do. Traffic flies through there. The police sometimes try and control it. They will go there, they will give people tickets. On a day that they're there in the morning before I leave work, I can see them stop 4 or 5 people. And they haven't been there that often lately, but it's crazy. And the kids driving, walking down Donan when garbage day, even without garbage day, it's very hard for 2 cars to pass. There's moms with their kids with strollers taking their other kids to school. So my concern is you've got a big property there. Where are these people going when they go to work? Right around the time that students are going to school. But my first concern is, you know, dividing a little bit of this off somehow so that you're not having those lights bothering you all night long. Plus, you're going to hear that those cars coming. Yes, it's great you have lots of stalls so it doesn't affect the road itself. But now you're affecting the people that live there, because you're going to have traffic coming in and out at all hours, and you can't control that.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Cravero. Any questions? Thank you. Anita and Steve Ambernach. Sorry, did I say that?
I live right next to the home condominium building. The house is right here.
Oh, so your address now?
This is me, 286 Murray Avenue. I'm very nervous in the public, so.
Sorry.
Don't worry.
What can I say? We're devastated about this. Sorry. It's making my yard. I can't talk. I get very nervous. Sorry. I shouldn't have came, but I had to because 25 years I'm living here and it's quiet and peaceful, and all of a sudden this developer comes and wants to build this facing my yard. This is my yard I go in the grandchildren with. I'm there, and all these parking stalls scare me. If someone comes and just drives through or something, you don't know if anyone's not drunk or, like, I'm just so scared about this. I just oppose it totally, totally. And it devastates my whole family that lives in the house with me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If there was a back lane, but my yard is right here, and it's facing my yard. We've been living there for 25 years. We moved from the Maples because they built an apartment block behind our house. And now it's happening again, but it's right beside me. I don't know how the city can allow that to ordinary people just like me and my neighbors. This neighbor behind me doesn't affect him. He's way back, but this is right in my backyard. And how could I be happy about it? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. It's like this big building right there and these lights, and at night, the car is coming and going. They're going in here, but they're coming out this way, right beside my house.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You mentioned that the cars would be right
parking facing my...
How would you feel if the parking was on the other side?
Probably safer. But I don't understand how they could face my yard and not face Main Street. Why would they buy property like this for people to face this way? I don't understand. I still don't.
What would you like to see here?
I would like them to face Murray this way, not this way.
But they don't have the parcel of land.
That's right, yeah. So but why didn't they buy a parcel of land?
But instead of this development, what would you like to see here?
Just a single family, just like I had for 25 years. We got along, it was beautiful. And now this is happening. This is just wrong. Totally.
When did you move there?
25 years ago.
25 years ago, so it's been sort of the same for 25 years.
Yes, and I realize there's development all over the place. I know that. But right in my backyard, like, really? I'm supposed to be happy about that? They're going to put trees there? The trees are dying. They're all dying because they're not my trees. We have to clean up all these leaves all the time. It goes on our roof. My property value, it's going to go up? No, it's not. It's not. It's going to go down because of that. And it's true. Is it going to go up? Like, I could ask you. You guys more know more about property values than I do. But that, to face a yard, my property value is going up? I don't think so.
So, help me out. I can't see the picture, but so... Mm-hmm.
You can't see the picture of what? Like,
well, I'm actually totally blind, so...
Yeah, but, yeah. Oh, no, so I'm gonna, sorry. It, no, I no, thought no, what I'm saying, sorry. I'm it's ranting okay. and raving, and that's
okay.
why I'm
no,
in
no.
here.
It's okay. It's sorry. Okay. It's okay. Yeah. I just want you to help me understand the configuration. So your home is immediately to the west of
yes,
this
I face
property.
Main Street.
Now, you mentioned there's some other house that...
Behind me, our length of our lot is 219 feet
okay.
long.
Okay.
And then there's another house.
Oh,
but
there's.
Their house is about, it would maybe be 100 and something feet away from the edge of the property. Yeah, of our property.
So when I heard that there was an email message of somebody in support,
yes.
That's the property owner that's being referred to.
Yes, yes. Because he's far from that. That's not going
to
affect him. He already has pine trees right there, and he has a fence, like one of those, I can't even see them, metal fences. But he's not around. He's all winter. He's like, no one's outside in the wintertime anyway, but in the summer, we enjoyed our yard for years. And now I'm not going to want to go out there.
Okay, thanks
just
for
because
me.
Of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Emma.
So it seems to me the orientation of your yard is that you have your shed and other sheds and stuff on the west side of your
just
property.
Just my garage.
So you sort of oriented your yard facing this larger piece of land as well.
Yes. Seeing the deers come, the birds, and the neighbors, they were elderly people, and they always fed the birds and stuff, and it was nice, nice and quiet, and now you can't tell, like, they can't tell me it's not going to be noisy now. Like, they're well-meaning, I know, and it's a nice building, but I don't care, like, it just affects us a lot. And I don't understand how they can do that. How it would be allowed to have a building like that, right beside. It would be different if there was a, I guess, back lane, just like in the Maples where we live, there was a back lane and then they built the apartment block. But this is right beside us. And it's like three stories, it's not like a one-story thing or... Yeah.
Okay, Ms. Zambernack, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Anyone else in opposition that I haven't had a chance to call? In opposition? Anyone for information? For information? Okay, questions of our men before we call the come back up. Councilor Sharma?
Yeah. On page one here, plan approval, is it going to the director?
It is proposed to go to the director.
It should come to this committee. Yeah, that's going to be. Okay. So what is the, is it 20% more parking here?
Well, the bylaw, if there's roughly 30 suites, there's 29. So it's 1.5 is required in the bylaw per unit. So they'd have to provide a minimum of about 45 parking stalls. So they would be way over. Typically, too, we don't want to encourage a lot of parking lots because we want to encourage other forms of transportation,
sure,
things like that. I know I live on my street. I live half a block away from a funeral chapel, and sometimes I come home and there's no parking. If there's a, you know, there's a service that there's a lot of people attending.
Right.
But I'd rather that than a parking lot to sit empty.
Do you see any issue with the variance height?
No, the variance is that we could have gone to a different zoning district. This is the least intensive zoning district. So it allows 35 feet in height. Mm-hmm. And if they could have applied to go to the RMFM zoning district, which would allow up to 60 feet in height,
right.
But we thought it'd be better to put them in the least intensive and then they could have the variance for the excess. And the building is set back significantly from the single-family properties, and those were some of the things we had noted in the pre-application process. We had provided some administrative comments, and that was one of them, was stepping back the building away from the single-family existing property.
If the parking lot was flipped to the other side, is there any issue with that?
Well, the issue then is where would the building go? See, in this scenario, the parking, which won't be, you know, used that much.
So what you're saying is the building would be moved closer to the west property line.
Right. So we can choose, do we want the building closer or do we want the parking
closer to what?
Closer to the single-family residential.
Right.
Like, if they're going to put parking on the other side, clearly the building has to shift. Because there's not enough room,
right.
Given their existing, you need 20-foot long stalls, you need a 20-foot aisleway, that's 40 feet right there, plus some landscaping, you're going to be needing good 50, 60 feet, which they can easily accommodate on the other side, so it kind of works from a site design perspective better that way. If the concern is lighting, can add in a clause with respect to the provision of light-proof fencing.
But if it gets flipped, then you have people on balconies looking into backyards as well, right?
Don't want that.
Right?
Sorry?
Yeah. Well, all these streets will have balconies on both the east and west side.
Right, but you're closer to the yard then.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, there's balconies, I believe, on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one's looking to the commercial property. Yeah.
Do you know anything about this issue of the environment not being suitable for certain trees?
Sharma,
in other applications, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're proposing just trees along by the parking lot, but isn't there, I think I recall hearing in appeals something about a 6-foot fence that gave privacy to the adjoining property.
Yeah,
And that's later during plan approval?
Yeah. Would that be well, right now they're talking about trees along there. But
mm-hmm. Plan approval works where you don't really, it's not intended to sort of add features. If the intent was to have 6 foot high solid wood fence, then that should be a condition of the approval itself.
No.
Yes.
So there's no obligation for fencing? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct, yes. Yes.
So it's just the trees buffering?
Well, the committee will approve the plans, right? Mm-hmm. So you can add that in, but typically it should be stated up front what the expectations are. Mm-hmm. More clarity, if the property changes hands, then the developer will have the conditions. Mm-hmm.
Council Chairman, I'm going to call the applicant back up. Okay. Janice Crystal, to sum up.
Okay, so as far as the neighbors, the building, we thought it's better located on that side. We won't get any shading on the neighbor's property. So it could be flipped, but we feel it's better there. As far as the parking stalls and the fence, if the neighbor wants a fence, we have no problem with putting in a fence. We can put in a fence. We feel that those are very large mature trees. Some of them are about 30 feet high. If they're on the property line, to take down those trees and put in a 6 foot fence, you know, whichever the city deems would be better, we will do either, but we think the trees are a better option. And then as far as them growing, there's large trees there, they're growing fine. There's a lot of evergreens there, they're growing fine. Our developer has a lot of experience with planting and knows how to do that.
But back by the parking lot where you have there, there's no trees by the parking lot right now, is it?
There is trees, yes, along the parking lot. There is mature trees along that full property line. They're like 30 feet high trees, so they're doing fine. At 286 Anita's property, she comes about 215 feet back her property line, and then the final 110 feet is 288 Murray Avenue. Now I know the house here at 286. There's no side window. I think there's one little tiny window on side facing. And it maybe looks like a little bathroom window or something, I'm not sure, but it's a small window, so there's no, as far as light shining into the house, I don't see that being as a major issue, and there's solid greenery there. And the house at 288 Murray, that would be the larger concern, because they have a large picture living room window, which faces directly onto the condominium. Their house is sitting here, their driveway is in line up with our driveway, and their house faces the condominium in their front window. And they're in support of the project, they have no concern. So I would be more concerned about headlights for them. And this is visitor parking, so you're not going to get a lot of people coming in and out. All of the residents are underground, so it's not going to be a lot of back and forth traffic as far as the lights are concerned.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Yes. So you're saying visitor parking starts at the first property is 215 feet back. Where does the visitor parking start at? About 200 feet? Or?
No, it starts, it goes almost the full length of the property. So it starts about, her house, you know, it's about, what is this dimensions here? I don't have my site plan with the dimensions. This is 44 feet, the building, and it lines up pretty much with the building. So it's 40 feet back from the street. So that would be in line with her house about. And then it runs through the back of the property, and then at the end,
you right to the
garbage
back?
Area. Not, well, there's the garbage area and the driveway at the very back. So it's basically in line with the building. It's the same, I think, 230 feet or 5 feet as the building, and it's in line with the building itself. And as far as residents of the community and adding to the traffic, all of our interest so far has been from retired people, so they're not they're not going out in rush hour traffic. And for others, there is the public transportation that people want to use in that area as well. It's very close to the bus stop. so there'd be alternate means of traffic. I don't think all these people are going to be rushing out at the same time onto the street. Can you maybe get a handful of people going back and forth to work, and they'll be at alternate times during the rush hour traffic? So I don't see that it's not creating the problem if they already have an existing problem there, and I don't think it's going to be a big factor.
Back to the trees, Janice.
Yes.
They're mostly mature trees, or what's the...
Yes, the on both sides of the property line is a solid. If you look at the aerial view in the summertime, now I've got one in the binder at the tab that's got the full area view. I think at tab 8 at the very back picture is the full...
I don't have the binder.
Oh, you don't have the application? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you all would have that. I didn't realize. But if you look down at the aerial view, you can see the solid greenery, the whole full sides of both the east and west property lines. It shows the solid greenery, and that's mature feet there, like 25, 30 feet high, those trees there. And so when you get down to ground level, like where the house is located at 286, there is a lot of infill. So you've got the trunks of the trees. There's a lot of evergreens in there, and it's very solid. If you've got the photo there, there's no visibility to the house. And so we would put evergreens, and we're not going to plant little shrubs. We're going to put 5-6 mature evergreens along there, so we'll have solid privacy. We want to give the neighbors solid privacy, and if a fence is the better option, or we can put a fence there. There's no issue with us putting a fence. We just feel that the neighborhood and the comments we receive from the neighbors and for environmental, it's nicer to maintain the trees, to not take down the small trees. So we are okay with whatever the city decides.
Have you read the recommendations?
We have read the recommendations, yes.
Do you have any issue with anything in here?
No, I think everything is, I think we're in compliance with everything. I don't...
There's a report in the public service has recommended amendments, correct? So you've read the report?
I did read the report, yes. Was there anything that was not being met in it that I missed?
Any other questions for the applicant? Okay, Ms. Biscuit, have you lost me stand down? Great. Councilor Sharma?
Okay. I'd like to discuss this fence issue. Are we able to put some sort of option in there that leave it at either or at the direction of the director? Because I'd hate to take down trees that are mature enough to serve the purpose, but I need to take a look at that.
Well, actually, so
is
the visitor parking, can I just ask this question?
Yes.
So when they come into visitor parking, they're doing the right, and then they're facing that way towards the 286?
That is correct, yes.
So they're not building the parking lot right to the property line, right?
No.
So you could use some kind of fencing that when they turn to go that way, there's a high enough fence, a thick enough fence to block the light.
Right, just at the front of the parking stall.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we would just typically call that a light-proof fence because it's to shield the light.
So you don't have to take trees out.
That's right. No, it doesn't. Wouldn't affect that at all.
So it's called a light-proof fence?
Yeah. You could put a 3-foot high or 2-foot high light-proof fence. You could be a condition in the zoning agreement. There is plan approval. It's coming to the committee, so... Those issues could be identified there.
But you were saying that we had to.
Well, it's just easier if there's something that you know you're going to want. It's easier to put that as a condition on its own because.
Yeah. Okay. Motions.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Madam. Okay. Yeah. Councilor Sharma.
I'd like to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?